Many of you remember 1999, right? Some of us. Feels like a long time ago to me, but I do remember some of what I was doing in 1999. I know for a fact that I was listening to Will Smith's Willennium album that year, and I know that you couldn't turn on a TV or a radio without hearing about Y2K. You guys remember this Y2K thing, some of us? For those of you who weren't old enough to experience it or who were living in caves and holes in the ground that year, basically this was a computer issue, right? Computer code put dates in with two digits instead of four to save room. So 95 instead of 1995, they did it to save space. And the fear was that when the year turned over from 1999 to 2000, all of the computers would assume that it was the year 1900 again instead of 2000, and all sorts of chaos would ensue. It almost sounds a little bit comical to me now, but people were really worried about this. FEMA and the White House were heading up a joint effort to educate the public and warn of potential problems. And the real worry was that all the major financial and banking systems across the world could fail, and with it, maybe glitches in military computers could make awful things happen. And with all this worry and fear, in the U.S. alone, preparations came with a price tag estimated to be the equivalent of $190 billion in today's dollars for this Y2K bug. And for some people, the fear sort of got out of control, right? There was a booming business in Y2K survival kits with water and canned goods and batteries. And more than a few people dug bunkers in their backyards and stockpiled ammunition. People were afraid, and some said that the world was going to end. And then, basically, as 1999 ended, not much happened, right? Life went on. The hype had largely been unfounded, even if there were some preparations that made sense. But fear drives people to do all sorts of crazy things, and people had been afraid. Before we get too much further into this first Sunday of Advent, we should note that if what you were hoping for when you came to church today was to start this transition from the warm, fuzzy feelings of Thanksgiving into the warm, fuzzy feelings of the baby in the manger, today might be a little bit of a disappointment for you, because what we actually get today in our gospel reading from Luke is significantly scarier than a baby in a manger, right? Signs in the disguise, distress among nations, and the powers of the heavens shaken. People fainting even from fear. And look, the tendency can be for people to hear these texts and in fear start matching them up to world events, try to use them to make predictions about what's going to happen and when on the Jesus coming again timeline. Sometimes Y2K style, people use this passage from Luke to predict the impending end of the world. And as far as I can tell, none of that is very helpful. Yes, I can and do say with confidence that the world is pretty messed up right now, and that there's a lot of scary stuff happening out there. But then again, the world has always been pretty crazy, hasn't it? When our Jeremiah text was being written, the one we read from a moment ago, God's chosen people, Israel, had been stomped by the Babylonians. Jerusalem and the temple had been almost completely destroyed, and the leaders of the people of Israel had all been carted off in slavery to Babylon. And then, by the time that the Gospel of Luke is written, the temple has been built again and destroyed again by the Romans. So the world has been a scary place for some time now. So more than predicting the second coming of Jesus by using the chaos of the world, I think maybe what this text from Luke calls us to is the realization that all this uproar, chaos, and fear is just the reality of what this world is like while sin and death still cling to some temporary power. It's an acknowledgement of what we already know, that while this life can and often is be beautiful, let me try that again, that line didn't come out. While this life often can be and is beautiful, as long as sin and death still have influence, life is also painful and people suffer. I think that's what this text acknowledges. And then what this text promises is that this pain will not last. Because God is not content to let this pain stand. The Son of Man will come in power and great glory, and the pain of this world will pass away. As much as it is about waiting for the baby Jesus coming to the manger, this is what Advent is about, actually. The promise that Jesus comes again in glory to make all things new. And our subsequent waiting, watching, and preparing for that day when Jesus comes. And in the meantime, we are not on our own here. God is with us now, and Jesus is coming again to make this world right. Which is why, amidst all these scary events that the Gospel of Luke talks about, the roaring of the sea and the waves of distress, with all that going on, Jesus doesn't say to flee or to hide. What he says is, stand up, raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Even with all this happening in the world, Jesus has got this. Jesus has got you, specifically. Life happens, and it's not all beautiful. But the thing is, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus, they will not pass away. So do not be afraid. We hear that command over and over again in both the Old and the New Testament. Over 120 times, in fact, God communicates this message. Do not be afraid. Because Jesus is coming to set this world right, and all that is messed up in this world, it will pass away. But the words of Jesus, "This is my body given for you. Father, forgive them. Peace be with you." The words of Jesus, they will not pass away. We don't minimize or idealize the issues that we know exist in this world, the real pain and suffering. We don't minimize them. But this is why Jesus comes. Jesus, who came to be with us in the midst of the mess, and Jesus who will come again to make it right for good. In the meantime, don't be afraid. Or you know what? Even if you are afraid, don't let your fear work you over. Don't let it get the better of you, Y2K style. Don't dig a bunker of sinful self-interest. Instead, set your life on the hope of the one who will not disappoint. Stand up, raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. In the words of Jeremiah, a righteous branch will spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So take heart. Do not fear. Jesus is coming. Amen.